hope that you've enjoyed our time together so far this morning as much as I have. I just feel like I've been just washed over with God's word and the songs. And I hope, you know, today I guess I want to hang on to Christmas a little longer. Okay, a couple more weeks, if you don't mind. It's so easy to, just get out of it, right? You know, you kind of get in the season and then we're done. All right, but let's slow down a little bit longer, okay? And like I said, I hope that all this is just seeping into you somehow, some way. There's a wonder and a, you know, that Christmas spirit that people talk about, and it's a good thing. It really is. You know, we sometimes, you know, we use these opportunities, but to focus, right? But what I'd like to, hopefully for us, is to avoid that up and down sort of a spiritual life that you can have where, you know, you have Christmas and then you kind of, okay, da, da, da. Oh, and then there's Easter, you know, and then da, 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 Mother's Day, right? You know, and you get this up and down, and those ups are great, all right? But let's try to maybe keep it up a little bit to maintain the wonder and the awe of what we're celebrating in this time. There's much there to remember. And I hope today, too, that you felt a little bit of a tension. You know, some of the songs we're singing of the cross and how Jesus died for us, and yet remembering a baby born. And that should always be there. The wonder, the awe, the miracle of God's great gift. A gift that finds fulfillment in death. A horrific death for my sake and yours, too. As we ponder this season, we want it to last. Today's readings, as I was mulling them over this last week in the cold, I think it draws us in to consider a few things, all right? To remember in this season now that baby who came, right? Cute little thing.
Yes.
To remember that in that baby, why he came. Remember why. Think, too, of the scope of this coming. And then to consider our response in that coming. Those three things. That's what I want to draw. Tell you what, these readings today, each one is wonderful. I mean, the Galatians, and then that reading Isaiah, that Psalm we read together.
Yes.
I mean, we could spend days. But I want to draw those three quick things, and those questions answered. All right? One, as we remember in this season, why did Jesus come? It's easy to get caught up in the it happened phase of things, and it's wonderful, and there's gifts and so much fun and families here and everywhere. But why? Why a baby? Why then? Why? Well, first in Galatians 4, we see just the straight answer, right? Galatians 4, and he says very clearly, if I can find it here, what was the first verse again? 7? 4:4, there it is, thank you. That's right, 4:4, thank you, Jesus. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born of the law, to redeem. Not a word we use a lot, unless it's talking about coupons. But God came, emptied Himself into a baby, or out of a baby, however you want to look at it, to redeem us, to pay the price for us, to save us, because we needed it so badly. And I love that in the fullness of time, when things were ready, when the fruit was ripe, God sent him. He said, now is the time. He'd been alluding to it for centuries. But now is God's time to redeem us. And then, and I'm sure all of you heard a double ring there, right? You've heard this before, right? We're redeemed. And what comes out of redemption? Adoption. God's Spirit. We are His sons, and we hear that on what chapter of what book? Romans chapter 8. Imagine that! For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father.
Amen.
There it is.
Praise
so Jesus came in that dark night to redeem us, to give us life, to give us His Spirit, to adopt us, to make us heirs, all of that, all rolled into it. So I hope that, you know, in Christmas is forward now, when this comes up, when you start thinking about this season, think of these things. Let it fill out. Let it be robust in its meaning. Not only family and friends and presents and gifts and angels, but our very salvation, our very adoption, our very receiving of an inheritance that is amazing and great. Isaiah 61 gives us a similar picture, a little bit different. And he uses a couple of different metaphors. One, of clothing, and then two, of a garden. or a wedding, I guess is what I was thinking about. You know, clothing in a wedding. What does he say in 61? He gave us garments of salvation and gave us a robe of righteousness.
Amen.
A garment of salvation, a robe of righteousness. We're, again, talking about those two parts of the Christian life. There is no condemnation. He saves us. He comes to us. He makes the move. He gives the garments. He gives us the robe. And we're saved. We're saved. And then we are put on that path of righteousness. That already not yet. We are made righteous. And we are walking in the process of righteousness. What a great thing. That is why the Son came. That is why Jesus came on that day. And then I love the reference in Luke 2 that we read this morning of Simeon. Actually, I got to tell you, that is it's one of my favorite stories in this Bible. I just love that picture of a man faithful to God his whole life.
Yeah.
Very old guy. And God revealed to him that he was going to see something, and he believed it, and he held on to it. And then it was great because when he had that baby in his hands, and then he recognized by God's Spirit who this was. And what did he do? He said, bless God. And why? Why was he there? For our salvation. For our salvation.
Yeah, that's right.
And in that salvation, we see the beginning of an expansion too. A revelation to the Gentiles.
Yes.
And the glory for Israel. Which then leads us into a second observation that I came away with this past week out of these verses. The scope of this coming. I think, generally speaking, as people, and most of it's easy. It's easy to want to be narrow and focused, right? And that's a good thing sometimes. I mean, we want to, you know, we need to sometimes just know what's right in front of us and get that thing done. But sometimes you can lose the forest for the trees. And the scope of what happened when that baby was born is amazing. What did it tell us in 61 and 62 of Isaiah? A sprout up before all nations. The scope of this Son. This coming was not this narrow little piece of land in the Middle East. From the very beginning, it was all nations, everybody, all, everything. This coming was for everybody. A sprout for nations in verse 11 of 61. And then 61:2, he had the picture of that all nations will see this righteousness. So even then, there's this idea of the scope was much bigger than was expected. In Luke, we get the same sort of thing. In verse 31, he mentions all peoples. And in 32, a light of revelation for the Gentiles.
Yeah.
That is shocking.
Yes.
That is shocking for someone of Israel who has held on to this place of honor of God. That, you know, of all the nations of the world, of everybody out there, of all the people known, Africa, Asia, North America, South America, Central America, everywhere around, God chose this one little tiny, tiny people. Had showed them such care and love and lifted them up. And then here, all of a sudden, a light, a revelation for the Gentiles.
Amen.
That's a big move. That is a huge move. And it shatters so many notions of how we live and the reality of people around us. This should cause us to expand our visions of God's people in this world. We are so prone to tribalism, I guess, would be the way I would think about it, aren't we? We pick a denomination or a church and or a certain set of tenets or beliefs, and we stick to it, and it's fine. You don't, you know, I'm not a universalist here, all right? But this focus, the scope of Jesus' coming, is much bigger than any of us.
That's right,
and it should force us to think bigger. To get away from this tribalism, to stand up what's right and wrong and that, but to be careful and to love each other. Think about other things that this just shattered in that day. In that day, when Jesus came as a baby,
yeah.
Racism,
uh-huh.
It shattered. Now, it doesn't seem like it, does it? We live in a terribly divided world. But when it says all nations, that was everyone, every culture, every tribe, every color possible, Jesus came for. And we have to get that picture. We have to. In fact,
yeah.
It's the only I believe the only hope that this world has in these kinds of problems of racism and separatism and even, you know, hyper nationalistic ideas that force people into us and them. Jesus is the only way that's going to overcome those things. I've always been a kind of a big tent guy. I really have. You know, I mean, I know what I believe to be true and I'm very adamant, you know, in desiring doctrine and purity and understanding. I really am. But I do think that God's picture covers a lot more than I can see sometimes.
That's right.
And we must check our pride. We must check our arrogance. We must be careful and scope out to a vision that includes the nations. We must.
That's right.
We must.
Probably.
Which then gives me the last observation from these, which is kind of obvious one, I think. Our response. How do we respond to this baby? Praise. It's praise. And it should be. It should just well up from the depth of our hearts when we see these things and we realize this Jesus who came to redeem us, and not only just us small, but the world, the nations, this grand vision of restoration that starts with a baby. And you can carry it out even further. Back to Romans 8. The whole creation's groaning, waiting for the redemption of the sons of God.
Hallelujah.
It's happening. It's happening with us. That in us, that process, this salvation and sanctification as we move towards God more and more and more, the very creation itself is waiting, expecting, and desiring that. And so we praise that psalm. The depth of sea, the creatures, the bugs, the grass, the zebras, and all of it. That's why I love taking like nature books and just seeing things. That's why I'm enthralled and walking through woods, because it's all to praise God. It's all to give Him glory. And then I just yesterday morning, and it was so cold out, you know. But there's a certain, you know, every sunset and sunrise is different and beautiful, you know. But when it's really cold, when that means really really cold, and then it's clear out and that sun peeks out, there's just a different tint to it. There is. It's just a little different color, a little different. And last night, I'm just driving that big old garbage truck and heading north, and saw just as it came over the hill and saw that little curve, and it was kind of orange, but it was a little different orange than it's been. You know, and fortunately, I'm with a guy who's a believer with me, and I was able just to say, boy, doesn't that just make your heart praise God? And he said, yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. I love, you know, in Luke, and with Simeon, when he held that baby, his first response was, bless God, bless the Lord. It's coming. Here it is. The woman Anna, when she saw it and she told everybody, she started giving thanks and saying, he's here, he's here, he's here, he's here.
Yes.
In Isaiah, we read today in verse 10, rejoice, exult.
Mm-hmm.
In 62, I cannot keep silent. I have to say it, right? No silence, no more. Let's tell this. And then in Psalm 48, I mean, on and on, all creation just. Put your creature in there praising God.
Amen.
I thought even just this morning, mm-hmm. my mind went to Colossians chapter 1. And I want to read that because the end of that Psalm 148, he mentions that we've been given a horn. Odd thing, you know. Especially in Psalms and throughout Scripture, that the idea of a horn is one of strength. Okay, so whenever you see the word horn, think strength, power. All right? And especially in the Psalms, I've noticed, you know, when it's used, you can hear that ring, double ring, you know. Okay, bong, bong. There's Jesus. Okay, there he is. And when I hear that double ring there of Christ, the horn's been given to us, my mind went to Colossians 1 in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him.
Hallelujah.
Wow. A little baby. Helpless. Yeah. Does all the things babies do, right? Completely vulnerable. You know, cute as can be. Precious. Made everything. How do we grasp that? How can we possibly imagine the possibility of how that could be, and yet it is, and then how can our response not be praise? How can it not be? So that's my prayer today.
Yes.
As we come through this season and, you know, move on to the next, let's praise. And if it's not there for you, okay, if you're thinking, okay, Pastor, I get it. I'm not feeling it, all right? Ask. Go to God. I read a quote from C.S. Lewis, and I'm at a loss now. I should have wrote it down. But it was to the effect of, don't wait to feel love for your neighbor to love your neighbor. He says, love your neighbor, and you will find, surprisingly, that you will love your neighbor, right? If you love your neighbor, you're going to love your neighbor. If you praise God, you will find that you're going to praise God. And not just here, okay, this hour, but today when you're driving home and you see the sun glistening off the snow in sparkles like diamonds, praise God. And if you see your child and they're behaving themselves for once, and you can think, oh, praise God. Not that they're behaving, but that they are, that they're here. That is our response. As we think of this baby who came to redeem us, to save us, who came for the nations, let's praise God and remember him, not just this season, but now throughout the year, in continual praise and growing more and more in that. That is my prayer for us today. Let's pray together. Father, oh God, thank you for sending your son. And Lord, I pray, God, with all my heart and just beseech you, help us to praise you, to remember, to not get caught up in the ups and downs so much, but to see and remember you in all things. You are great and mighty, and we are so grateful. Be with us now. By your Spirit, move us, your people, more and more into your light.
Yes.
And in your holiness. We pray this confidently, knowing that we are yours.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go with God this week. Remember, if you have a praise, write it down. We'd love to hear from you. And prayer meeting Wednesday, it's a good thing.